Well, we are entering into a new phase of Trust the Story, where we're going to be moving into some of the maybe more familiar Old Testament texts. And we do that at a time where we've just celebrated the birth of Jesus. We've had Christmas Eve, we've had Christmas Day. We continue to have Christmas days as families still continue to get together. And the question that we ask ourselves at the beginning of the year, every year after we're putting all the lights away, we're putting all the decorations away, is who cares? Who cares? We just celebrated the birth of our Lord, the incarnation of God here on earth. Well, who cares? Or maybe we could ask that question in a different way, more of a rhetorical question. Who cares? We care. See, God has called a group of people to follow this Jesus way, and we celebrate Jesus every December 25th as a focus, not to leave it in the past, but to bring it with us each and every day. We get to celebrate the birth of Jesus each and every day, even when we turn all the lights off and the Christmas trees get taken down. Jesus says, who cares? And we say, we do. We do. And it's all about our calling, living into a calling. And that's what Joshua is doing. Moses had led God's people all the way through the desert for 40 years. And all of a sudden, they're at the promised land. And Moses does not get to cross over. Moses' purpose was to leave a legacy for the next generation to cross over into the promised land, a legacy that Moses leaves behind. And part of his legacy is a guy named Joshua. And Joshua is called to be the new leader, and that call just isn't an internal call for him. Of course, he had to make a decision whether or not he wanted to do that or not. But he had to have an external call. The elders of his community decided that, yes, this is our new leader. And then we have this amazing conversation that God is having with Joshua, saying, follow all of these things that we've taught you. Moses has set you up well. Moses has taught you well. Live into those. Trust the story, Joshua. And at the very end, be bold, be strong. Do not be dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you. Why would God say to Joshua, if Joshua is the called one, the leaders and the elders want him to be, God has said yes, why would God put that in there? Because God knows that we can easily be dismayed. And whatever calls we're in, whatever roles we play, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. And for Joshua, it is hard. How many of you read Joshua from cover to cover in the last 5 years? Anybody? Nobody. It is one of the most difficult books in the Bible. We spend more time in Leviticus in this Trust the Story than we're gonna spend in Joshua, because Joshua is a really hard book to swallow. It's a lot of violence. And it's hard for, and you know, I talk about leaving people in the past. Don't try to drag them into our future. Leave them in their context as pre-modern Eastern people, where they have a very different view of violence than we do today. But even reading Joshua, it's like, gosh, man, is it really that violent back in those days? And I have conservative scholars that I read that tell me that that's exactly what happened. And I have liberal scholars that tell me that, you know what, those are all just stories that mean something else. But for some reason, this book has stayed in our scripture and in our Christian imagination. And so instead of spending 7 weeks on Joshua, we're going to spend 1 week. If you want to learn more and get more deeply engaged, come to the Engage Bible Study this week, 6:30 on Tuesday mornings and 12:30 on Wednesday afternoons. And then also the podcast, a little plug there for that stuff. We're going to try to dive a little bit deeper. But we're going to take this one verse, be not dismayed. Because every single one of us in our own lives have a calling. Now, I'm gonna tell this through two different lenses, but they're kind of the same person. And as I walk this through, I want you to think about your own journey, your own different callings or maybe different roles that you've played in your life. And it took me a while to figure out, okay, what's my job and what's my calling? So the very first job I had, I think I was 12, 10, whatever, 9, 5 years old. I can't remember what it was. But it was a lawn mowing business. And I mowed our own lawn, and I mowed my grandma's lawn. And I got paid. I got paid when I mowed my grandma's lawn with the best grilled seed sandwiches you've ever had in your life and a glass of cold Tang. Remember Tang? Oh, that stuff was amazing. Now, I considered that payment, so I filed an LLC for a new company. No, it was not a calling, though. As I'm slugging my push lawnmower across my little town in the heat of the summer to mow my grandma's lawn, I'm like, this is not my calling. Might be a job, but it's not my calling. And as I grew up through high school, I was a lifeguard. I loved teaching kids swimming lessons. I also worked for several different ranchers. I worked for Hugo Richter. Hugo Richter, we fixed lots of fence. When I was 13, 14, 15 years old, I dug a lot of holes for fence posts. We dealt with a lot of barbed wire. And yes, I did drive his truck into the barn several times. Back in those days, you were 13 and you could drive on the farm. And then I also worked for a cattle company, the name Bacon Cattle Company. Just let that sink in. My two favorite food groups, Bacon Cattle Company. And I spent a lot of time doing that. And one of my thoughts as a kid was, well, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. Because that's what our town did. This little town, Weimar, Texas, you went to high school, you stayed in the town. A lot of people got married at 19, 20 years old. I remember the first time when I got married and we had our first children, some of my high school classmates already were grandparents. I'm like, what is going on? No pressure, Jonah. I thought maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm pretty good at this. I can work for the Bacon Cattle Company or whatever. But I also had another dream that was alongside that dream or that thought. Was I wanted to win the Heisman Trophy. I'm not joking. I'm serious. I really wanted to win it. And I did everything I possibly could to get myself in a position to do that. And was offered all kinds of scholarships. And then all of a sudden, I got sick. I got mono. Around signing day, I lost 40 pounds. And all the offers went away. They all went away, and it went to preferred walk-on or walk-on or gray shirt, all these different kinds of classifications they have, and I ended up not doing any of that. I ended up going to a college where my mom was a biology professor, and then I thought, well, that door is closed for me. Maybe that's not what I'm supposed to do in my life, and I became an accounting major. And I became an accounting major because my older brother was an accounting major and I idolized my older brother. So I'm this accounting major until the middle of my junior year where my advisor said, Paul, you are no longer an accounting major. There's something else for you to do and it's not accounting. Actually, it's not anything to do with business. Just go find something else. And I wondered, well, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to do? Have you guys been in those situations? What am I supposed to do next? So I enter into this process where I go, well, I'm going to go back to my athletic side. I'm going to pick that up. I left that all alone for a couple years, and I decided to go into exercise physiology. kinesiology back in the day. I don't know what they call it now. But it was exercise phys. And we were doing all kinds of really cool stuff. We had great labs. And man, these classes were awesome. I flourished. I flourished in that environment. Not in the business environment, but I flourished in this exercise physiology. So much so that when I was close to graduation, the head of the department came to me and said, I've got a grad school lined up for you. And there's a group of us, you guys are gonna be grad students, and we're gonna be working in Houston, Texas with NASA, and we're gonna do an exercise phys stuff with astronauts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna be an astronaut, I'm gonna work with astronauts. That's as close as I'm gonna get. And it was all this groundbreaking kind of physiology stuff and oxygen levels and how to help people live, you know, long-term in space. And it was amazing. Loved it. Shined at it. But all along this other side, during the summers, I would drive up to Alexandria, Minnesota, and I worked at a Bible camp. And all of a sudden, I felt this deep connection with kids and helping them learn that God is with them. Not God just for adults, but that faith is for all of us, no matter what, how old we are. And I got very excited about that. You ever been at those crossroads? Do not be dismayed. I decide to go the church youth director route. And the exercise physiology head of the department went to my mom, who she was a colleague with, and said, he's throwing his life away. He's gonna go work at a church? Well, I don't know if you know who Pastor Paul Gaucher is, but if he asks you to do something, you kinda do it. And this is before I even really knew him. He's a former retired pastor, if you don't know who he is. And so I went that path, and I discovered that was a deep calling for me. It's so much so that I don't even remember half the stuff we were doing with exercise physiology. Could that have been cool? Yeah, it could have been a cool job. But I found a job that was also my calling. A calling that led me and continues to lead me into what I'm doing even to this day. Yeah, and sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it feels like a job. But at the very end of the day, there is a calling in that. Have you ever been at those crossroads? Have you ever had those decisions to make? Have you ever been at a spot where you're dismayed because you're not really sure what God is calling you to do? The word for you and for I is, I'm with you, even in those moments. Even in those moments, I'm with you. Now I want to share the calling piece from a different perspective, but it still affected my life and my family. Marion Pelton died, member here, last week. And Marion Pelton had a job. She had a career. But Marion Pelton also had a calling. Her calling was to read to first graders at Echo Park Elementary School. So she did. She lived into that calling, making a difference one little kid at a time. And one of those little kids was my daughter. First grade, learning how to read. Marion Pelton helped my daughter learn how to read. Without that calling and without that response to that calling, it could have been harder for my daughter to manage her schooling. And Bob, you didn't know I was going to say this. Her husband, Bob, had a career, job, but he also had a calling to help kids who were interested in math at an early age, and was a part of a group called Math Masters. And they worked with my son, who's a math guy, who loves math. And I don't know where we would be today without Math Masters, a bunch of volunteer people who or took that on as a calling. But I do know where he is now. He got a double math and physics major from St. Olaf. And now he's doing master's with data science. So good job, Bob. And so many other guys and gals that are with you that have been doing this for years. That's what a calling can do. Not that Marion or Bob didn't make a difference in their careers and in their jobs, but they've also made a difference in their calling to help others. We live in an interesting world. We live in a world and a society right now where people are struggling to know where to turn to. The violence and the fear that is so prevalent in our country, we're shooting each other. We're shooting each other. We're dehumanizing one another. Now we have in our custody a president from Venezuela. What do we do with all this stuff? Psychologists would tell us that there's a fight or flight or freeze mechanism within all of us. And when we get too much information, we start swinging, we start running, or we freeze and we don't know what to do. I think God is giving us a different way. It's not fight, it's not flight, it's not to freeze. It's to find out what God is calling us to do each and every day in this moment. There are major meta-narratives, there are major huge stories that are going on in our world. There's so much information that's coming at us. And God is calling us to go, you know what, maybe do the good that you can do in that particular moment, in that day. Certainly people care about big meta narratives and big stories and all those kinds of things. I'm not telling people not to care about that. But a lot of stuff we can't control. But what we can is being responsive to God's call in our life. And so if you'd like to go on that journey, that's what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be going on a journey where you're going to either discover that the calling that you have right now is exactly the same calling that you're going to be moving forward with, or you may go, I didn't know I had a calling. Maybe I have a different calling that's different than my job, or maybe it's a calling that you can recognize that's as personal as I feel called to be a dad. I feel called to be a dad. Not always that great at it, but I feel called. What an amazing calling. It's not a job. It's not something I have to do. It's a calling. I have a calling to be the best husband I can possibly be. I mean, I chose her, but what's amazing is that she chose me. And it's a calling. Because when we get dismayed, when we get bogged down, when we get frustrated, so we realize it's a calling, we know that God is with us no matter where we are. So every week on the back of our handout will be a tool for you to use to continue to discover your calling, a tool for you to be able to connect in maybe a different way, helping kind of unstick you from the world. Maybe we can stop swinging at one another a little bit less. Maybe we can stop running away. Maybe we can stop freezing up. Instead, let's doing the good that we can right where we are. That's what God is calling Joshua to do. I think that's what God is calling us to do. Because who cares? You can say it. We care. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you call us as your people. You've called us from the very beginning and you know us. You know there are moments in our lives when we want to fight or we want to flee or we want to freeze up. And you know this, it's nothing new. But call us into a new time in our lives. Help us discern. And when it gets a little bit scary, when we get a little bit dismayed, remind us that you are with us. We ask this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.